morning, East Point Church. It is an honor and a privilege to be with you this morning and to have the opportunity to share the precious word of God with you. I really believe that God has a word for us today about his mission, about the transforming power of Jesus Christ and our part in extending the kingdom of God where we are. So for the next 20 minutes or so, don't be put off by the fact that it's National Sports Sunday. Don't be put off by the fact that maybe you don't like sport. This is not going to be a message about sport. This is going to be a message about the hope that we have as the people of God and the transforming power of Jesus Christ. So if you have your Bibles, let's turn together to 1 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to pick up our reading at verse 3. My name is Sammy Robinson, by the way. I've realized I haven't introduced myself. I am a pastor in the Church of the Nazarene and also serve as chaplain to Harland and Wolf Welders Football Club, who are, despite what Darren Martin will say, the pride of East Belfast. But 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 says this. And we'll read through to verse 9. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice. Though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And I pray and I trust that the Lord will bless the public declaration of his word to our hearts this morning. Let us be a people that no matter where we are, I know most of us are probably in our living rooms or our kitchens, and some of us might even be in our pajamas, lying in bed, watching on the TV. Wherever you are right now, I want to encourage you, open yourself up to what God has to say. Let us not just be hearers of the word this morning, but let us be people who put into action that which he commands us to do. And this morning, I work in 3 points. I hope that's helpful for some people. But this morning, we're going to look at 3 things on this National Sports Sunday. We're going to look at the mission of God. We're going to look at the transforming power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then we're going to look at the role that we have as the people of God to play in the extension of the kingdom of God in our everyday lives. So let's start with the mission of God. And to understand the mission of God, we need to go right back to the start, right back to the beginning of the story. The first 5 words of scripture, I remember a teacher who taught SU in my school saying, these are 5 of the most important words which have ever been spoken. In the beginning, God created. And it's important that we realize that it was in the beginning that God created. We're not here by accident. We are designed in the image of God. We are precious in his sight. We are his own special possession, that he'd spent as much time on you as he did on anybody else, that you're not a mistake, that you're fearfully and wonderfully made, that he knit you together DNA strand by DNA strand in your mother's womb. He cares for you, he loves you, and in the beginning, God created. And God's creation was perfection. It was perfection. And then we read in Genesis chapter 3 of Adam and Eve, the first human beings, as they were tempted by a serpent, the evil one, the enemy of our souls. They were tempted by a serpent and they were told to eat from a tree that God had prohibited them to eat from. But because God is a just God, because God is a loving God, God had given mankind free choice. And rebellion took place that day, and sin was allowed to enter into the world as Adam and Eve took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And sin entered into the world. Being a just God, being a fair God, God could not just let them off, for they had disobeyed. And as a result, they were sent from the garden. And the mission of God began. The mission of God, where God, who had walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the night, who had perfect relationship with them, this relationship was now tarnished. This relationship was not completely gone, but it was tarnished. And the mission of God throughout the scriptures is to draw his people back to himself. That is the mission of God, a God who loves all, a God who cares for all, but a God who is a just judge, and a God who will never force himself upon people. I don't know if you know, but the community of sport in the United Kingdom accounts for 25 to 30 million people. That is just under half of the population of our great nations. 25 to 30 million people who God loves. 25 to 30 million people who God cares for. And sadly, 25 to 30 million people who, for the majority, do not know him. And the mission of God is that these people would be drawn to himself. And the mission of God took a turn. It reached its pinnacle when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God's own beloved Son, left the glory of heaven, left the praises of angels, and took on human flesh and lived a human life here on earth. You see, all the way throughout the Old Testament, the Israelites, the people of God, went through a cycle. And this is what made, well, actually, Adam and Eve's rebellion made the arrival of Jesus a necessity. But it is perhaps no better illustrated by the actions of the people of Israel throughout the Old Testament. They go through this cycle. And at the top of the cycle, if you imagine a circle, at the top of the cycle, there is right relationship with God. People and God are in relationship. The people of Israel, the people of God, are worshiping God as they should, as the one true God. They are walking with him. They are living lives for him. But then, as we go to the next part of the circle, the people start to drift. They start to look to the left and to the right. They start to go their own way and to take their eyes off of God. As a result, then, we come round to here, the next part of our circle. As a result of this relationship with God and their distancing themselves from God, difficulty strikes. They get themselves into a bit of a mess, into a rut. And as a result, it seems that all is lost. Then, the next part of the circle, somebody, maybe a leader, maybe somebody else within the community of the people of God, realize the error of their ways and they cry out to God to rescue them, to save them, and to walk with them again. And then we come back to the top of the circle. Right relationship with God. God is honored amongst his people. God is being listened to by his people, and God is being worshipped by his people. And this circle continues all the way throughout the Old Testament scriptures. And then, at the beginning of the New Testament, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, takes on flesh and dwells among us. His message is very simple. He says, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. If you look at the book of Mark, in chapter 1, the very first words of Jesus, which you will see in red in the book of Mark, is repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Jesus is saying, turn from everything else and turn back toward God. And Jesus, whilst he lived our human life, whilst he took on human flesh, lived a life without sin, even though he was tempted and tried in every way. This life seemingly ended with death on a Roman cross, where on a Friday, the people cried, crucify him, crucify him. Where on the previous Sunday, they had cried out, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna to the Son of David. And Jesus that day took upon himself the sins of the world, past, present, and future. He took upon himself all of the things which separate us from having relationship with God, which create a barrier to our connection with God. And he took these things upon himself, and he bore them with outstretched arms as he hung on a sinner's cross and died a sinner's death, the blameless, spotless Lamb of God. And he did this to bring us hope. Because you see, he did not stay dead. He did not stay dead. And although he was buried on Friday, we know that Sunday came. And he arose victorious over sin and over death with the keys of hell in his hand. And he came forth with a message of hope. God's mission was now reaching, in many ways, its climax. And we are living in the climax of that mission. God's mission to draw people to himself reached its pinnacle in Jesus Christ as he hung on the cross and is now entering into its climax as we go as the people of God. For Jesus rose victorious over sin and over death. Jesus said that no one comes to the Father except through me, that he is the way, the truth, and the life, that he is the good shepherd, that he is the true vine, that he is the only one through whom we can be saved. And Jesus's message of reconciliation, Jesus's death and resurrection, and his invitation of free gift of salvation allows us to enter in and be a part of the mission of God. To be not only merely a result of God's mission to the world, but to be helpers in the mission field. One of the things that stuck with me most as a teenager growing up, my pastor, Pastor Philip, said from the pulpit one day, God doesn't need you. God doesn't need you, but he invites you to be a part of what he's doing. And those words always stuck with me because God is all powerful. God is all knowing. God is everywhere. God, through the work of Jesus Christ, the finished work of Christ on the cross. Remember that as he breathed his last and he cried, it is finished, which in the Aramaic can be translated into English, paid in full. As he cried out, paid in full, as he cried out, it is finished, and he committed his spirit into the hands of the Father. The work was finished, the end was written, and Jesus Christ became our living hope. He didn't need us, his work was done, yet he invites us as his people, as those who accept his free gift of salvation, to be a part of that ongoing mission, which is reaching its climax as we come closer to the day of God's return. He invites us to be a part of what he is doing here in the world. The most selfish thing that we can do as the people of God is keep this hope to ourselves. Peter says here that we've been born into a living hope. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have a living hope because we know that as Jesus ascended to the right hand of God the Father, that he also promised that he would come again for his church. Jesus Christ is coming back for us. This is our hope. And there is an inheritance that is stored up in heaven for us, protected by God because of our faith in him. God is storing up an inheritance for you. You have a living hope, and we have a living hope as the people of God. But the most selfish thing that we can do as the people of God is keep that message to ourselves. Here in this passage that we read together in 1 Peter, Peter pleads with the people to live lives of holiness, not for our own sake, but for the sake of God's kingdom. For it is written, be holy as I, your God, am holy. We are to live lives of holiness, lives that reflect the beauty of Jesus Christ in our everyday, in the public arena and in private, when nobody's looking. But Jesus also gives us a commission. We call it the Great Commission, for it is the greatest commission that the God who doesn't need us but invites us to be a part of what he is doing. Jesus says to his disciples before he's taken up to heaven, we read it in Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20. He says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, because of this authority, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always until the very end of the age. The mission of God was always to draw people back to himself. The means through which he chose to do that and make it possible was through Jesus Christ. And this very same Jesus, who was dead and buried and rose again victorious over sin and over death, this very same Jesus invites us, you and me, every day you and me, warts and all, with all of our mistakes, the perfect, blameless, spotless Lamb of God invites you and me to be a part of what he is doing. So why do we do what we do at Sports Chaplaincy? We do what we do to share the hope that we have with other people. That Jesus Christ is alive. That Jesus Christ is for us, not against us. That Jesus Christ will one day come again for his church. Will come again for his beloved. Will come again for his bride. That Jesus Christ, the transformer of lives, the only and all-sufficient Savior, will come for us again. And in the meantime, we are to go and we're to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with other people. I want to ask you, have you ever shared your testimony with somebody? Have you ever shared the hope that you have with other people? The world needs hope. And it might not be through Sports Chaplaincy. I'm not here to recruit you to the work of Sports Chaplaincy today. But if you do want to join, feel very free to do so. But we do what we do for one reason and one reason alone. Because of the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And the message that we have is too good to keep to ourselves. It has transformed my life. It has transformed Stephen Thompson and Darren Martin's lives. And I know that it has transformed so many other of your lives as you set a new watch in your homes today. God is still at work. God is still in the business of transforming lives. This might seem like a really simple message this morning, but you need to know that the hope of the gospel is simple. The hope of the gospel is that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. That Jesus Christ came to offer a second chance. That Jesus Christ came that we may have life and have it abundantly. And I want to encourage you, church, that whether it be through the medium of sport or be it whatever you get up to in your everyday lives, in your workplaces, in your schools, in your unis, wherever life takes you, I want to encourage you to be holy as God is holy. Reflect the beauty of Christ. And be unashamed in taking the message of hope and reconciliation that Jesus Christ offers to other people. Because it transforms your life. And you know, there's a great hymn that we used to sing in the church that I grew up in. And many of you might know it. It was written by a lady called Fanny Crosby. It's Blessed Assurance. And in it, there is a line that every time I sing it, I'm 20-something. I'm not going to tell you my real age, but I'm 20-something. And every time I hear it, even to this day, tears well up within me. It says that the vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. You see, Jesus gave us a commission. Jesus gave us a command to go and make disciples. He says, go and do it in my authority. Go and tell them my message. Go and tell them the hope that there is, this living hope to which you have been born into. And do it in the knowledge that even when you're fearful, even when you're scared, even when you feel like shrinking back, go in the knowledge that I am with you. And by the power of my Holy Spirit, I will empower you. So wherever you're at, whatever stage of life you're at, no matter what life is throwing at you just now, know this. God is for you. It was God's mission to draw you to himself. He did that through the message and life of Jesus Christ and brought you into a living hope as you repented and turned your back on your old way of living and walked towards this life and life abundant which Jesus offers. And today, he invites you to be a part and to play your part in sharing that message with other people. Sometimes we try and make it so complicated. The best way to share the message of Jesus Christ is to live it and use your testimony as an opportunity, your character and your integrity as an opportunity to speak hope, to speak life, and to speak the message of transformation from the inside out that comes through Jesus Christ into those who you come in contact with each and every day. As I said, our message today is so simple. It's this. Share the hope of Jesus. Go in his authority. And know that he's with you, even until the end of the age.